There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Cut the music. Thank you. Amigos, amigas, Member Guest Podcast listeners. This is the squad. We're back. We have not been in studio in close to a month, I think. We're going on. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's been a little bit.
It's been a while. Tony has a tan. Andy has a farmer's tan, and Johnny's looking fresh too. Yeah, Johnny's got the tan over there. Yeah, looking good. Just came back from a nice round out at, where was it?
Prestwick. It was decent. Got some good sun, and it was a little wet out there, but we knocked it around, made our way. It's hard to win a scramble with anything less than 16 under, but we threw our hat in there. Missed a couple big putts, but what can you do?
That's all scrambles are, literally putting.
Well, it was weird because they did one of those things, too, where you can buy mulligans. And I don't know if we did that. And who knows how many guys.
So brutal.
It's all for charity, so I'm fine with that. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, if you're it's hitting cool. putts 10 times.
They do a thing where you can, like, buy the string and people just buy, like, 100 feet of string and just they're shooting 28 under.
Yeah. Just get free putts on every hole.
Yeah, absolutely brutal. been a while. How have the – so I'm, like, 8 rounds in probably – this year,
yeah,
six to eight, somewhere in there. How are the games so far? Early season feedback from our 2023 goals. Again, it's only May. No,
checking yeah, no, to it see. Is May.
Yeah,
so far, you know, so far the game has been doing pretty good. I've improved in some areas. Specifically, I've been hitting some wedges significantly better than I have historically.
Love that.
You
hit a lot of wedges.
Rolling the ball pretty well with the new Batten Hardy, so I'm pretty stoked about that. There is some room for improvement off the tee, I must say. I have been utilizing some of my shorter clubs, i.e. 5-wood and hybrid, just to get off the tee in some cases. And room for improvement, so areas that I'm going to continue to work on here and really just trying to get dialed in.
It's early season.
Early season.
But you guys have the rodeo coming up, right, this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to touch on that next time. We're talking today about golf games and betting, but that'd be really fun to tell people about the rodeo at our club. It's over 50 and under 50 guys, right? Like two teams, three different rounds, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it's always a good time. So, yeah, I was just looking at my gin. I played 7 rounds Winsong. It's not bad.
That's great.
I've had one or two 36 hole days. So, but
We played 36 though.
Yeah, I played 36. One thing that was interesting was I played on Saturday with Ben Siegel, who's a friend of the pod.
Rock Chalk.
Yeah, former Kansas Jayhawk and is cutting his teeth playing professional golf. So that was, like, really interesting to see, just to see him play and, you know, play with him. Some takeaways, like, he didn't have his best stuff, and I think he shot one over, and we played the back tees, and it was playing really hard. I mean, we both hit driver into 14, which is a par 4, and we both, like, hit both shots pretty good, and we're short of the green. Yeah,
and par 4 is like a...
and 14,
for,
yeah.
From the back tees. For people that don't know it, from the back tees... Kind of, I guess you could call it almost a 90-degree, right, if you wanted to.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite call it that, but it's a 500-yard hole from back there.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, and it's like you got to go up a hill. But it was he didn't have his best stuff, but, like, it was just really cool to see the scoring and just how, like, he just gets the ball in the hole. He just scores the golf ball, right? Like, he hit it in the bunk. So he hit it in the – I think he was – he didn't hit a very good drive on 15. He was, like, left rough, and we were playing a little match, and he kind of tried to pull a hero shot 3-wood. And, by the way, the rough at Winsong right now is crazy.
Really, really long.
Yeah. And he hit, like, a 3-wood, and he didn't hit it. it was just like not a shot that you could really hit. And he ended up in that bunker on 15 that's like in the second part of the fairway that's like right and 50 yards short of the green.
Yeah, it's like a pop bunker that's like 50 or 60 yards.
Yeah,
short.
That like no one's ever in. Yeah. Like and he just like makes par from there. Like he hit like an 8-iron. I don't even know what he hit. But like he hits it to like 15 feet and just cashes it and like walks off the green and thinks, oh, that was a 4. But it's like that's just like triple double city for like and everybody then else. And then on 16 he hit it in the water. And it was like he just hit the wrong club. Because I actually hit 5-iron and I hit it to like 15 feet and we were partners. And so I told him like I hit a 5 and he's like, no, it's like a 4-iron for sure all day. And then he hit it and he's like, that wasn't a 4-iron because he just like wasn't committed. And then he just like, it's like a back left pin, throws it down in the drop area and like hits just a filthy 75 yard wedge to like 8 feet and makes it for 4.
I was going
to
say that's with the back left pin, the drop area. That's a,
but it's like, that's a ridiculous 4. So. Like that's a ridiculous 4.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then like I said, it's just really interesting to see someone like not have their best stuff and just shoot one over and like,
yeah. And you played really good. And
yeah, I shot 2 over and, yeah, I mean, I just like had a really good day putting, like, I just made a lot of putts, basically.
It's still 2 over from the tees you played on the gins, what, plus?
Oh, that's a plus for sure.
Plus yeah, one. Plus 1.5, I think. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's crazy good.
Definitely hurt the old index.
Well, depending on how you look at it.
Got you down to the lowest you've ever been.
Yeah, 1. Yeah. So
congrats.
I don't know. I mean, all like, claps. I'm hitting it good, so I'll take it. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. But we're per our goals podcast, we're saying committed to the process.
There you go.
The it's been really fun for me to look at. So I've logged all my rounds in decade. I'm getting pretty good at putting them in now. I mean, it takes me 10 minutes after each round to put it in. So my scoring average is about 75. It's pretty fun to look at what you think you're good at and what you think you're bad at and then like actually see the data around it. So some stuff that stood out to me, I'm a horrible par 3 scoring.
Yeah.
I'm averaging like 3.44. I'm under par on par 5 scoring, just good. Like you said, the rough is really long at Windsong right now. My up and down out of the rough is like red X's everywhere. Like I'm not making par when I'm in the rough right now. So that's apparently need to work
around
on
the
that.
Green or just like on your from the fairway.
So like my rough save percentage, which I think is anything inside of 30 yards. Is 33%, which is 3 red X's, which is really bad. So, yeah.
I mean, you're measuring yourself against a PGA Tour player, right?
I think this is D1 college golfers.
Yeah. So,
but my off the tee, everything is green.
Yeah. Which is that's sweet. I was going to say that. So, I've been tracking my stats too. And I would say that, like, I mean, we had a couple podcasts on data and everyone was saying like, you should do this. I mean, I'll say like, it's been very interesting, like just learning because I didn't really know this, but I compare myself to a +3 index and I average like pretty much almost every round I play and I'm hitting it better this year, but I'm gaining 2 to 3 shots with driver.
Against the +3. Wow.
And I was like, whoa. And then I realized like my approach play hovers between like average, like a little like losing a shot to losing 4 shots. And then my putting, I was losing like 2 to 5 shots putting.
Wow.
And so it's just like what Ken was saying on our podcast, where it's just like, oh, like now I've just been lag putting and just really like spending a lot more time working on my putting. And yesterday or on Saturday, I went out and putted well and I shot a good number. Like, so
yeah,
I don't know. It was just like, in the past, I would work on my ball striking forever, but it's like, well, the ROI on working on putting is going to be bigger than,
yeah.
Like, if I can just be average as a ball striker and drive it the way I'm driving it and make some putts, like, that's going to be the recipe for, like, some really good rounds. So,
well, and for me, too, I've always thought mentally, and you guys know how big of a head case I am with the flat stick, it is getting better. But my putting stats actually aren't bad.
Yeah.
Like, my make rate from 3 to 4 feet, 3 green check marks, 95%, 4 to 8 feet, 70%, green check mark. Like everything's green check marks except
from 8 feet, you're how much?
4 to 8 feet is 69%.
That's really good.
Yeah, really good.
It's really, really good.
And I putt really, really well on Sunday. And again, I only have 10 rounds, right? So like, you know, once it gets to 50 rounds, we'll kind of see things even out. But the really interesting one is, like, I'm bad outside lag putting, like, over 20 and 30 feet is where I need to improve. Because even though I might make 4 or 5 footers, I think it's basically saying, like, you're not going to keep up with that. Right?
Eventually,
like, it's eventually going to catch up to you. So
you're going to regress to the mean, basically.
Yeah. Really fun stuff to look at. So, anyways, today we're talking about our favorite golf gambling games. So I know we all kind of wanted to talk about some of the stuff we play at our club, you know, what we play with our buddies. I think it's a fun topic to talk about, especially as we're going into the season and people are maybe trying to find new games to play with their foursomes or threesomes, fivesomes, you know, whatever you're doing. So why don't we save the best for last? I think you're doing Banker. Andy, why don't you kick us off with just like the Nassau, game for
this
everybody.
This good like variation for our listeners, just thinking about like, so it was fun. But yeah, that's,
I mean, I've played with people where they're like one down autos.
Yeah, like I'm not an auto. I don't like the auto press. I like just like, you know, yeah, press whenever, you know, and it can get a little spicy. But usually, you know, end of the day, you're changing anywhere from $20 to $60 or whatever at the end of the round. And, you know, it's enough to cover your caddy fee at Winsong if you take an A caddy. Like, that's kind of my style.
Because I am really bad at remembering stuff. It's what, front nine, back nine, total? 2v2.
Yeah, so let me explain in Nassau. So you play the front nine, you play the back nine, and you play a total. So there's 3 matches, 2v2. And so if you win the front, you bank that bet. And then if you win the back, you bank that bet, and you have an 18 bet. So you can press either side. So if you get 2 down on the front, or even if you get, you know, 6 down or 7 down on the front, you can press the last hole and go even money on the front. So
Do we want to explain to some people? Because that can be a bit confusing in some ways.
Yeah.
Some.
So like, those can get pretty spicy too.
Press when you're pissed.
Yeah, press when pissed. I mean, they can get pretty spicy, but you kind of, you know, you can accept or decline the press. So.
I didn't know that. We had 4 presses on Matt Klein, Brooke and Ivers, Lowe and Roth.
Yeah.
Last week,
Reister and Hillen pressed us, I think, 8 ways on Saturday.
Yeah.
So,
they just go press when you're pissed. Like, well, yeah, why are you pissed on? They were pissed on
that. They were
tying.
Pissed on every hole. Yeah. So it was fun, but yeah, that's,
I mean, I've played with people where they're like one down autos.
Yeah. Like I'm not an auto. I don't like the auto press. I like just like, you know, yeah, press whenever, you know, and it can get a little spicy, but usually, you know, end of the day, you're changing anywhere from $20 to $60 or whatever at the end of the round. And, you know, it's enough to cover your caddy fee at Winsong if you take an A caddy. Like, that's kind of my style.
Because I am really bad at remembering stuff. It's what, front nine, back nine, total, 2v2?
Yeah, so let me explain in Nassau. So you play the front nine, you play the back nine, and you play a total. So there's 3 matches. 2v2. And so if you win the front, you bank that bet. And then if you win the back, you bank that bet, and you have an 18 bet. So you can press either side. So if you get 2 down on the front, or even if you get, you know, 6 down or 7 down on the front, you can press the last hole and go even money on the front. So
do we want to explain to some people? Because that can be a bit confusing in some ways.
Yeah.
Some people, when they think pressing, they just think that they're like doubling that original bet.
So,
whereas we play it where it actually initiates a second bet.
Yeah. So if you press, you're just starting a new bet at 0. So if Tony and I are playing 1-on-1 and we're playing in Nassau and I win the first 2 holes and Tony presses me on the 3rd hole, he's still 2 down in the first bet. And then the second bet is all square. And so we would play that second bet through the 9th hole, the first bet through the 9th hole. And let's say he wins 3 holes, right? And we tie the rest. He wins both bets. He wins the first bet and he wins the press 3 up. So,
and then on the back nine, there's a new bet for the back nine.
And then you have an 18, a total bet.
Sounded a lot simpler before we started.
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of hard to describe.
You can press 8 ways when you're pissed.
Yeah.
2 down auto.
So, yeah, you do get like whenever somebody loses a hole, like they just start pressing. And so, I mean, I think it's fun just because you kind of control your destiny a little bit. And like I said, it's just, and then what I like to do when we play is kind of layer on some secondary games. So, like, love to play for skins. Not so much that, but usually, like, I like to play snake. Yeah. So, don't know. We could talk about Snake too. It's not really like a match play game. It's actually what's interesting about Snake. If you're playing a Nassau, is you're also playing Snake against your partner. So that's where it can get a little interesting.
Snake is an awesome ad. Yeah. So why don't you?
So basically, the way you play Snake is you set a denomination on the snake. So usually we play for dollar snakes. I've seen it get up to $5 snakes. Then it gets, especially in August that wins on, it gets pretty spicy. But every time someone three putts in the group, a snake is banked, right? So if there's a three putt, you bank, you put a snake in the bank, right? And then if you're the last person to three putt, you hold the snake. So let's say we go to the first hole and I three putt, I have the snake and I owe everybody the dollar amount of the snake if we were to stop playing. So the snake's a dollar, I'm playing in a foursome, I owe everyone $1. That's $3 out of my pocket. Well, where it gets interesting is like on hole two, somebody else three putts, now they have the snake. Okay, now there's two snakes in the bank. And Tony now has the snake, right? And you get to number 15 or number 16. Now you got 10, 11, 12 snakes in the bank, right? Potentially.
Well, can you, on that real quick, in one hole, can there be multiple snakes? Or is it the last person?
It's the last person to three putt holds the snake, but you could have multiple snakes
in
a hole.
So let's say all four people on hole one three putt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last person to three putt holds snake. Four snakes.
Whoever their first putt was the closest. So like the four of us are playing and Johnny has a 40 footer. Mm-hmm. You have a 35 footer. Andy has a 20 footer and I have a 15 footer. If all four of us three putt, because my first putt was the closest, that's the worst three putts.
Not necessarily who goes last.
That's correct. Yeah,
it's in order of who's furthest away from the hole. So it is the last person.
So the total, if you maxed out the snakes, you could have 18 times four.
Yeah, everybody three putted on every hole. Yeah, yeah. So it's
72 snakes.
And where snake? So I would say where you get into like snakes, some sort of specialty snake rules is like for us, the way we play it is like anytime you use the putter. So even if you're off the green, if you use the putter, like it's a putt, right? And the other thing with snake, which like we have to address this because it happened once, you cannot chip on the green, so that's not a thing.
If you putt it, I think this is actually a rule. If you putt it off the green, I don't even think this is a snake rule. Once you use your putter, every shot after that is considered a putt, isn't it?
That's actually really interesting. I've never seen that happen, but yeah, I would totally. I would argue that's a snake.
I actually think not even in the snake game. I actually think that's a
considered a putt.
I believe so, man. I'm either going to be really wrong and like pie in my face or I'm right and this is awesome, but I'm pretty sure like even on the tour, they consider it a putt. If you putt it off the green and like you have to chip back on, it's considered a putt.
Yeah. So my optimal day is a $20 Nassau with a snake game layered in. And then the last one, which
is our home game
cover, is our home game, which is to pay 20 for twos. So we do that. We call it the 20 club. And, once you declare yourself into the 20 club, you cannot get out of the 20 club ever. And anytime you're playing,
you want to pay a large sum of
I think it's like $50,000 to get out of it. I don't know. We need to talk to Jamie. He knows. So you can declare yourself in at any time to 20 club in your life. But once you declare yourself in, you're in. And anybody who else is in 20 club that you're playing with and they make it to, you owe them $20.
Regardless of where the game is being played. So if the four of us go on a trip,
yep,
we're all in the 20 club. Love 20 that. Club is on.
But if I make it two and you're not in my group, I don't owe you unless you're doing some type of specialty like Friday game where there's four groups that go off and we all play 20 club and everybody pays everybody for making it two. But if I make it two in Scotland, Tony's in Minnesota.
You got to be together. Yeah. If you were and I went out on Sunday and he dropped a deuce on me on, I think it was 10.
Yep. The other part of 20 club, which is a little bit lesser known, is in 20 club, you owe 100 if somebody makes a one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's part of, and I actually paid fewer on a simulator one once.
Good for you.
Yeah. That was the right thing to do.
Doesn't count, but good for you.
It was the right thing to do. You know, a Lannister always pays his debts.
Yeah. So Nassau, so my game that I like to play, and I think this is the reason I like Banker, and I think you'll see why when you explain Banker, but a lot of people know about Wolf. So I'm kind of the opposite of you. Not that I like taking my friend's money, but whenever there's money on the line, it makes me concentrate more. And I like the feeling of getting over pressure shots and putts. So I try and play for something whenever I can. Mm-hmm. It just gets my juices flowing. I really like it. And so the reason I like Wolf and Banker as well. So Wolf is the game that I would normally play with my buddies. And I like it because there's a team aspect, but you can go solo as well. So in Wolf, the Wolf rotates every single hole until holes 17 and 18. The way that I've played is that on hole 17, whoever is in last or second to last place is Wolf on 17, and whoever's in last place is Wolf on 18. So it gives them a chance to make some money back. Some people don't play that way, but it is a way to do it. So you have four players, right? Player A would have the Wolf on holes 1, 5, right? So on and so forth, every fourth hole. And you watch people hit their shots and you choose your partner, and you have to choose after everybody hits. So the first player goes, you either take them or pass, and so on and so forth. If you don't like the other three people's shots, you can go solo. And the way that we play Wolf is if you go solo, you have to beat everybody in the group. Tie does not qualify. And you get 2 points if you win with you and your partner. If you're the Wolf and you win, you get 6, and everybody else has to give you 2. Point system, you choose, you know, either $1 or $5 denominations for the points, and that's it. So going, if you go solo and beat everybody, it's a big, big reward.
Yeah.
If you don't, pie in the face.
It's an interesting concept. I've never played where you have to beat them. I've always played where if tie, you tie, you tie the little ball, it's tie. One tie, all tie.
There's different variations. I like that one because it really makes you go, like, and everybody's playing against you, and it's kind of fun, you know, that way if you're not playing for crazy money.
There's also, I've also played Wolf where if you, like, go Wolf before everybody else hit, then it, you can wear it, it goes, like, 4X.
Yeah, pre-Wolf.
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 Basically. Yeah, I've played that, too. And I will clarify, if you've played with me and you've seen me get unhinged with gambling on the golf course, and then you listen to the podcast and you're like, Andy's saying that he's not really, it's because I'm an alcoholic. And so, like, it's the switch flips, and I try to regulate that switch by not getting myself involved in too many crazy games.
What day was that I saw you walk off 13?
Saturday. Yeah.
It was either Saturday or Sunday. I'm on 14. We're waiting for the people in the fairway. Andy's walking up, and we do this, you know, the chest bump thing, like it's our McConaughey deal. And I go to him, and I do a little one of these, and he just looks at me and goes,
"Yeah, I just shoot him. I shoot him off."
And he texted me later. He's like, "Sorry, man. I wasn't pissed. I was just messing with you." I'm like, "Dude, you were totally pissed. Like, it's okay. Like, what happened?" He goes,
"Can I explain happened? Can I defend myself?
Yeah, but let me tell what you texted me." Yeah. You're like, "No, dude, I wasn't pissed." I'm like, "You were kind of pissed." And you're like, "Yeah, I was kind of pissed. I had just gone birdie, 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 and then I made like a stupid bogey." I was like, "Yeah,
no,
okay.
I didn't make a stupid bogey." Well, I did, but that's not what happened.
I was going to say, that's what you told me you did.
I birdied 10, 11, and 12, and I am on a all-time heater. Okay. Heater. I mean, a heater, like 10 was for a 2, and that paid pretty big. And so I make the 2, and then I go to 11. Hit a really good drive at 11, wedge to 5 feet, cash it. Money drive on 12, hit it just right of the green, almost chip in, tap and birdie. Walk up the hill to go to 13, and I just walk right into Hagel's cart on the 13 tee box. And Lowe and 4 other guys. So we're standing there on 13 waiting for Hagel to tee off because something happened in front of you. It wasn't your fault.
Oh, I was like, "Yeah, what are you talking about?"
So we got heavily iced on 13, about a 10-minute wait. I mean, just the worst time to get iced. Mm. Then I get iced, don't hit a very good one, have a terrible lie, don't hit a very good one. And then I get up to 14, ready to just wipe the slate clean. And Hagel's, you know, wants to have a conversation. And I'm like,
"Hey, buddy,
golf your ball, bro. Like, keep it moving." I gave him the keep it moving sign.
There are people in the fairway. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Ride up on them. Hit one into him.
Like, dude, I wasn't mad. I was like, "Dude, you were totally mad."
I wasn't mad.
You weren't mad at me.
No,
you were mad.
No, I was just annoyed because I was on an all-time heater.
That's the worst.
Turkey. And, like, I'm feeling like I might birdie every hole. And then I got iced. So, but you know what? Hey, that's on me. Mentally, I got to be better than that.
Learn from it.
You got to learn from it.
Get better.
You got to get better. And then what do you got to do?
I don't know.
You got to move on.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've moved on.
I'm trying, but Hagel's bringing it up on the podcast. So
it was appropriate.
So anyway, I just want to clarify the gambling thing. I typically don't like to play for a lot of money. I like to keep it regular, but every once in a while, I'll just let the inner demon go off, and I will press you.
$100 NASA.
Yeah.
Two down autos.
Got to learn to regulate yourself, Snake. You know?
So speaking of moving on, Tony, you get to introduce our favorite game, Banker. I think a lot of our peers from the farm will know Banker, but quite frankly, whenever I have guests out, we play Banker, and I don't think I've had one person out that's like played it before or knew about it, which is really interesting. So why don't you talk about it, and then we'll explain why we love it.
Yeah, so... I agree with you. Oh, most people that I end up playing with are if they're a guest at out at Winsong or we're just playing a random another course, almost very rarely do people know what the game is. I have had people have played it before, but they play with some slightly different rules. So, you know, any of the listeners out there, if they play Banker in a little bit different way, obviously it, just the same as any of these games, they all have variations and fun things that can be changed within the game. But this has kind of turned into the home club game at Winsong. I joked around the other day that I feel like I haven't really played any. If I'm play for a little bit of cheese on the golf course, I feel like this is the only game that we ever play at Winsong. And so, yeah, you know, sometimes to Andy's point, you know, sometimes you need a break and totally understandable there. But the interesting part about Banker is it's a individual match game. So you start out on the first tee, and the unique part about Banker is, as Andy put it as well, you can have control of your own destiny as to how much you want to bet. So on the first tee, we usually start out with a denomination of say $10. And everybody plays their own ball. And as we get to the green, if everybody ties, if there is, you know, let's say everybody makes par, whoever makes the longest par putt becomes the banker. And that's kind of when the game begins.
Starting on hole two.
Or if there was, you know, if there was one bogey and three pars, whoever made the longest par putt, that bogey only pays the banker. They don't pay all three people.
Yep. Or whoever had the lowest score. So yeah. If someone makes a three and everyone else makes a four, that person wins the denomination. So $30, mm-hmm. right?
On that. That's hole. Correct. Yeah. So, but I use the par description on purpose because we're going to get into like some of the other nuances.
Yeah.
So now we go off to the second hole. That's really when the game kind of begins. And the banker, let's say Jordan is the banker. He, you know, let's say he made a four, you know, made like an 8-foot putt for par.
Really rare for me on one.
And I make a, you know, 3-putt bogey and I have to pay Jordan $10 in that case. The next hole, then Jordan is the banker, and he has the ability to choose a denomination that will become the max bet for each individual person that's in that group, whether it's four people in the group or five people or three people. Jordan then chooses the denomination that's a maximum amount of a bet. So let's just say he sticks with that same $10 bet. Jordan can say $10. There are variations to this. Many people play that you can choose to bet any denomination in even dollars. Some people play where there's a minimum bet. So maybe it's a $5 minimum bet. Maybe it's a $10 minimum bet if you're playing with some of the bigger gamblers.
We usually
gamblers
play $10
out there.
Minimum
bets. Yeah, usually it's whatever the denomination you set on one,
yeah,
right?
It's the minimum. That's how we usually play it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, like, but yeah, if you're playing this with your buddies, you can choose, hey, we can say minimum bet of a dollar if you want.
$1, $5, whatever.
Whatever you choose. So Jordan says $10, and Johnny tees off, and he just smashes one, hits one right down the middle. When his ball is in the air, he can say double. So that $10 bet now becomes a $20 one-on-one bet against Jordan as the banker. Let's say now I tee off on two, and I pull it a little bit right, kind of goes in into the fescue over there, and I don't really like it, so I just leave my bet. So now my bet is that $10 bet. Johnny's at $20, Andy tees off, and he hits a good one as well, and so he doubles his ball when it's in the air. So now we have a $20 bet, a $20 bet, and a $10 bet. Jordan, now as the banker, tees off, and he has the opportunity to double based on his shot. The variation here is that that doubles all of the bets that he's playing because he is the banker. So let's just say that Jordan decides to double that bet again, that those $20 bets now go to $40 bets. So this game can kind of get frisky pretty dang quick.
Yeah, and that's just the minimum.
And yeah, and that's
if you're playing the minimum.
That's the, you know, that sometimes can be the minimum at Winsong. And sometimes people play more, sometimes people play less. But now let's say Jordan makes a routine par. I get up and down, or I hit it on the green and two putt. Now we tied. And Andy makes a birdie, and Johnny makes a routine par. So now the interesting part is birdies then double that bet again. So now that $40 bet becomes an $80 win for Andy. And let's say I made a bogey. So I would lose $20, Johnny would tie, and Andy would win $80. So Jordan would be net down $60.
Yep.
And then Andy would now, based on making a birdie, he would then be the banker on the next hole.
Yeah.
And
there's no tiebreaker for putts.
Yeah.
Correct. Andy would start it.
Yeah. It's just the longest putt that's tied or better for the low score on that hole.
And the other thing to note for people when you keep track, because it sounds like a lot of numbers and stuff to keep track of, after every hole, everything should add up to
zero.
To zero, right? Because somebody's going to lose, somebody's going to win, others are going to
tie.
It's a zero sum game. So when you're done, usually there's one or two winners, one or two losers, and everything should.
Can we talk about par threes?
Absolutely. So now we, you know, let's just say everybody ties on
three
on hole three. Now we get to four, which is long at Winsong. It's a, you know, it's a pretty difficult par three. Oh, that's over a bit of a ravine that can play pretty long sometimes. The interesting part about banker is that whoever is the banker on par threes, it's either you love it or you hate it. Most people don't really like being banker on par threes. The really big gamblers, they kind of thrive in that scenario because the variation is that instead of doubling that bet, it actually triples. So
in the air.
In the air. So
Can I walk through a scenario that actually happened to me last year?
Please do.
Well, on seven.
Seven.
$10 banker.
Yep.
Okay, so that was minimum the banker.
Max.
Yeah.
Min.
So I'm the banker. We're playing as a fivesome. Okay.
Yep.
First guy tees off, back left pin, hits it to 15 feet, doubles in the air. So $10 goes to 30. Second guy tees off, hits it to 20 feet, doubles in the air.
So 30. Just for clarification, when we say double on par threes, it actually means triple.
Yeah, triples in the air. Third guy tees off, triple. Fourth guy tees off, triple. Okay, so everyone's like...
So now everybody's in.
Everyone's inside of 20 feet.
For 30
bucks. Hit and I flag it. And I'm like, I have to do it. Triple. So now I just tripled their triples. So their $10 went to 30. And now everybody's $30 bet goes to a $90 bet. So now I have four $90 bets live on the seventh green.
It's a $360 hole before you even leave the tee box.
Okay, all four miss. Now I have a 9-footer that if I make, triples the bet again.
So 270 a guy.
A guy. So that's $1,000. More than $1,000 on a $10 bet that started on the hole and I missed. So,
everybody
made par. We walked off the green and no money was exchanged.
That's such a like golf game thing.
So
like,
that's kind of why I don't like team. Not I don't like banker. I like playing it sometimes, but like if you're it can get a little spicy.
It can get very spicy.
Now granted, if I were playing on that hole and I hadn't tripled, the worst I could lose on that hole is $30, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, no, it would have been $90. So the interesting part that I like about it is you do control your own destiny. Like if you're not playing well, you can choose to bet whatever amount of money that you want and you can never double, and you can kind of, you know, limp around and you can play a strategy game. There's some people that are extremely crazy, and then there's some people who are really conservative on the, and somehow, some way, you know, even if they're not having their best day, they're just really strategic gamblers.
So if you play really tight, what do you think the most you could lose in banker is if you played really tight, never doubled, never tripled?
I don't think you would even...
$30.
Yeah, I don't think...
more than that.
The most...
you're going to win some holes.
Yeah, you're going to win
gonna
some.
You're going to push a lot.
You're going to push most of them.
I would say the most you could lose is probably $100.
Oh, at the most?
At the max. Yeah. At the very max. That would be somebody playing absolutely lights out and you playing absolutely terrible.
Yeah. And you playing super tight.
Yeah. Now, I very much absolutely feel like you're going to win your handful of bets, and you know, you play super conservative, you can be right around even money.
Yeah. Sometimes you walk off and it's like not a lot. Other times you walk off.
Some variations that I have heard of in this surround par fives. I've never heard anybody else that's ever played this game that plays triples on par threes. I think the only place that I've ever talked to anybody ever playing banker that triples is at Winsong, which I think is a great aspect of the game because it just makes par threes absolutely imperative that you play well. But a variation that I've heard of is that on par fives, I've heard second shots you can double again.
Oh, wow.
Before.
Sick.
So drives you can double, and then second shots I've heard you can double again. We have never played that way, but I have heard of people describing the game in that way. So, you know, everybody can do some pretty simple math. You can kind of figure out that the game can get pretty crazy. Yeah. If you're playing with some people who are not afraid at all, and they are, you know, on the tee box, they say $100, or some insane people, you know, are saying $1,000 maxes.
Not
if you
that
want.
We know really, but
nobody, I've never played it. Obviously, I've never bet that personally, but I have, you know, there are people that are willing to do whatever they want, but the game can get really, really nasty very, very quickly. So if you're going to play this with your buddies, start out with a buck or a couple bucks or whatever. If you want to, you know, do whatever, just know that, you know, if you want to kind of break even or whatever, just kind of play the minimums and be really conservative. But if you want to play a little aggressive,
that's my problem. I go in with the game plan of like, I'm just going to play tight and just have fun. And then I just hit one good and I'm
double,
like, triple every time. Yo, like it's instinctual. I hit it in the fescue, triple.
The biggest, obviously, the different level. But I heard that MJ and Tiger, when they play $100 a yard. And so if they step up, you know, to hole one, 430 yard par four. And MJ gets a bump on Tiger, right? Like they're playing that hole with bumps, but it's $43,000.
That's stupid. I mean, that's
different.
Well, they're billionaires too. So one thing that I have said, and kind of interesting, it's kind of ties into Andy's point, surrounding, like, if you are playing with your buddies, like, you don't want to take a bunch of money off your buddy. I agree with you. I don't necessarily like doing that myself either. So a lot of times I've played where the group as a whole, just like before the first tee ball, says, all right, maximum amount of money you can lose is X.
That's smart.
Especially if you're playing like a team game, you say, hey, let's keep it friendly. Most amount of money you can lose is $50 or whatever.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think, yeah, for me, it's about the golf. And like I said, every once in a while I like to play a you know, money game where there's a little bit of juice in there just to – test the competitive.
It makes
juices.
The three footers.
Yeah, it's like
you put out the three footers.
Yeah, but it's not my. I don't get my rocks off from it. I like the golf, but hey, you know, we wanted to cover it, and we know a lot of our listeners love to gamble. We know some of the guys in the pod love it too, so hopefully it's helpful.
Yeah, we'll see what games people like too.
We'll do a series. I think like we'll come back to this because I can think of other games I love to play too. So
another unique game that we didn't talk about is like Green Jacket. We didn't talk about that, or you know, there's all kinds.
We'll cover
of
that
games
on the next one.
We'll do a part two. Yeah, we're wrapping up. We're already at time for the episode. So appreciate you all. Drop some likes, comments. It helps us a lot. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Peace.